This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I told Seth that he inspired Judah, so when we get home, Judah's going to wash my feet. Yeah, he's very excited about that. And Mike offered him gloves, so he'll be fine. All right, so actually, I was telling Judah, I do get really nervous. I'm much more used to a classroom where somebody else gives me the content and it is my responsibility to be sure that the students know the content that I'm given. This is just a little bit more than that. And so it messes with my head and my heart a little bit, and I definitely feel the weight of it. But I know that the Lord put something on my heart. I had an outline written like last week, and I was just sitting outside praying about it and literally felt like the Lord specifically spoke this to me to speak on Mother's Day. So I'm going to start with a little poll. How many of you were raised by perfect moms? Nice. Thanks, Jude. He's trying to get out of the foot washing, raising his hand over there. It's me. Okay, so a couple of you. You're sort of derailing my analogy, but that's okay. How many of you moms are perfectly raising your children? By a show of hands, like, perfect, you're just crushing it. Right, and then how many of you moms are raising perfect human beings? Just shining examples of perfection. Okay, so if we're honest and not trying to suck up too much, the answer is a resounding zero. There is perfection to be found nowhere. No matter how amazing our moms were, or how much we pour ourselves out as moms or as children, how much we try to take those lessons and live into them, perfection cannot be achieved. It can't happen. We will be hurt, we will hurt, and those we raise will also hurt. And so this is where, truly, I got our message this morning on forgiveness. And part of me was like, man, this just feels like kind of heavy. But I know that that's not God's heart for us, because the reality is, If we live in any relationship with any other human being, forgiveness is essential. And it's also one of the hardest things we have to learn how to live into as adults. And I know that. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm constantly failing and feeling like I'm coming up short and wrestling through how to balance everything and knowing when I'm not doing it well, and also knowing when I feel let down by others. And it's always this juggling where lots of things are being dropped. And so this is the journey of life, and especially motherhood. And so my heart this morning was really deeply for moms, but also acknowledging this is for any human being that loves someone or is loved by someone, because we can't escape it. We know that to love is to forgive, and to be loved is to be forgiven. Like, this we know to be true. I actually, really, this is not my favorite thing. So Chris asked me a couple weeks ago. He had surgery this weekend, so there's some legitimate reasons. And I also, I think it's sort of lovely for moms to hear from a mom on Mother's Day. But I was asking Jonah, driving in the car, what do you think moms want to hear about? And he's like, I don't know, I'm not a mom. And I was like, that's fair. And I was like, okay, well, like, what do you think your friends would want to hear about if you were going to tell them about Jesus? And he was like, well, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, maybe we should think about, like, what are your favorite things about Jesus, about God? Like, what things give you so much peace and joy? And this is what he told me. He said, I love that Jesus forgives me no matter what, and that he's so generous. That's what I want my friends to know who don't know Jesus. Not that he's mean with rules, but that he always forgives and is more generous than anyone we know. And I just started thinking about that, like, what a gift Christ's forgiveness is. It changes everything. Everything is different for us because of his forgiveness. Yet life is so, so complicated. Relationships are fractured, and we still are always wrestling through, how do I live a life of forgiveness, even though we know that this is true about Jesus, that his forgiveness set the whole trajectory for the rest of humanity and mankind. What he did changed everything. Yet, in our day-to-day, we still wrestle with living into it. And so then that prompts the question, why? If we know this to be true, why is it so hard? Why do we always struggle? And I wish I could give you a formula and tell you, do these things and it'll be better. And I don't think it's formulaic. I think it's a continual process. But I do believe God's word has so much hope and understanding for us as to what it looks like to live a life of forgiveness. And I think as moms specifically coming in today, I realize that I know lots of different moms and lots of different women wanting to be moms or wrestling with the loss of their mom or disappointments with children and fractured relationships. And so I realize that Mother's Day can be so, so beautiful, but it can also be so, so complicated. It can be a whole bunch of things at once. And in all of these layers, Jesus is with us, and he has a promise for us. And truly, I believe that his word for us as a people this morning is to understand his forgiveness, not a striving, like, do this, but, like, understand what he did for us and how truly supernatural and transformative that is. And then our responsibility is to learn, how do we walk in that? Not how do we create it? It's already been created. It's there. It's done. It's ours. We just have to figure out, how do I learn how to walk in this every day? And so that's kind of what I want to look at this morning. I want to break down what forgiveness is and what it isn't, and look at what scripture says about forgiveness briefly, because I think we could do series upon series about what scripture has to say about forgiveness. So I'm just going to take some passages and then look at a couple of the reasons that maybe we struggle to forgive, or we're not able to forgive, or we find ourselves stuck thinking, I thought I forgave, but today I feel like this, and I feel like I've gone backwards 6 steps, and that feels really, really, really discouraging. And that can be a really hard place to be. And a lot of us find ourselves there when something comes up and you're like, wait, I thought I was here and I'm all the way back here. And then I want to look at again, remind us of the beauty and promise of Christ's forgiveness. So as a good English teacher, we're first going to define the word that we're talking about, so we're all on the same page. So we're talking about forgiveness, which the dictionary finds as to cease to feel resentment against, like your offender, or to pardon someone. It also means to release from a debt owed. So even like the parable of the sower and things like that, like he was forgiven his debt. So it has layers. And I did some research, and so I have some quotes from other people who are far more intelligent than me, but this is one of them that I thought was really good. It's important to be clear about what forgiveness is and isn't. Forgiving someone is not the same thing as ignoring something evil that a person has done. It's not excusing it either. Instead, it's seeing the thing that has been done, shorn of all excuses and extenuating circumstances, and choosing not to hold it against that person or get even with them. So forgiveness in no way takes away from the thing that was done. It's choosing to look at it fully and clearly, acknowledge what it was, and then release that person from the anger and honestly, just like the responsibility that they bear. So I want to look at some scriptures. We're going to start with Micah 7, 18 through 19. And I think these will be up there as I read them. But I love this passage. It said, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. And I love this, that there's an acknowledgement that we will do wrong and that he might be angry, but it will not remain forever. So that's great, right? And that he delights in steadfast love. And I think that line is so cool. Not just that God desires steadfast love, but that is like the delight of his heart. It brings him joy to love us through everything. To be steadfast means to remain, to stay. No matter what comes or goes, he stays. And that is his delight, to stay with us no matter what comes. And I just think that that verse is absolutely beautiful. We're going to also look at Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, which none of us do, right? Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive. I inverted some words there. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Again, this is just a really clear outline of who God's called us to be, how he's loved us, and what it means to be one of his chosen ones. This is what it means to be his, because we are holy and beloved, because we are forgiven. This is how he's called us to live, with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgiveness. And then also the Lord's Prayer. I know I'm just kind of banging through these verses, but I want us to see, like, throughout Scripture, just some of these clear guidelines that God gives us on forgiveness. And this one is incredible because this is like to pray this every day, which is a reminder that we don't forgive once, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Something happens in our hearts when we choose not to forgive. When we make the choice not to forgive someone else their trespasses, there is a hardness and a wall that goes up in our hearts. It's like a no-entry zone. And sometimes it's not even a conscious decision that happens. The hurt is just big and it's too hard. We don't know how to deal with it. And so instead of doing that, we just put a do not enter sign. And then we go on with the rest of our life staying away from that area. But when we do that, we literally close off our heart from God. This isn't God being angry or judging and saying you don't if you don't. But it's saying your heart won't be able to receive what I have for you when you draw that line. It's like a dam being put into our heart that we've built up that literally blocks off all that he wants to give us. So this idea of receiving God's forgiveness is absolutely paramount to anything I say this morning. If there's anything you take away from this, that's like a do better. That's not my heart. My heart is understanding what God's forgiveness does in us and the reality that this isn't something that we have to originate. Like, forgiving others isn't something that happens and starts in our hearts. I don't have to create that and figure it out within me. It's something that Jesus has already done that I get to join in with. It's his work that I'm choosing to cooperate with. Like, he's doing this in hearts. We have the choice whether or not we're going to engage it. And that's so encouraging to me. It's not something that I have to muster up when I can't feel it. It's also really challenging to me because in some ways it means, well, if it's his work and he originated it and I just need to join in, then I have no excuse. He's done it. He's doing it. It's why he came. But it's so hard for us sometimes to get there. And that's really kind of the bulk of what I wanted to talk through this morning, because I would venture to say, if I asked any of you, do you want to be a forgiving person, or do you consider yourself a forgiving person? I think most of us would say yes, we want to be people who forgive. Then the follow-up question would be, is there anyone in your life that you feel like you're not forgiving? I think most of us, if we're honest, would also say, yes, I probably have somebody that I don't know how to fully forgive. And so how do those two exist? And why do they exist if we want it? It exists because it's hard. We're human. And so I'm going to look at three reasons that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart that resonate with me. There could definitely be others, and maybe the Lord is speaking something else to your heart as to why you're facing a barrier there, but these are the ones that he laid on my heart. The first of which is that maybe we feel like the thing that we can't forgive is actually unforgivable. We realize God has forgiven us, but our sin and theirs are just not on the same level, and so ours is maybe just a daily mistake, an omission. We hurt somebody's feelings. We spoke without thinking. That would be me all the time. Made a flippant or sarcastic comment that was probably not well thought out. We'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I had so many of those, especially in junior high and high school, to coaches and teachers and principals. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I should have thought first. That sarcastic comment wasn't helpful. So those are like easy ones, right? Where we're like, oh, I can ask for forgiveness and forgive. But maybe the thing we're wrestling with somebody feels so much bigger and it doesn't feel like a mistake. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe they haven't asked for forgiveness. Maybe they're actually continuing on in a pattern that is causing us pain. And so therefore, why would we forgive? And in our mind, if we forgive them, we minimize it. We say that it's not that big of a deal. And I think this one specifically can be so hard to get past because it feels very true, and we're very justified in that pain. Like, that pain is real, and acknowledging that and being able to move forward, I think can be so, so challenging sometimes. But if we see anything, it's that it's Christ's forgiveness that we're actually extending. It's not ours. It's not us deciding whether or not they deserve it. It's us acknowledging we didn't deserve anything Jesus gave us. Even if we think we haven't done anything that bad, he still lavished forgiveness on us for things that we may not even know. But yet we want to withhold from someone else because we don't think it's on the same level. And again, I want to refer back to that quote I shared at the beginning when looking at defining it, that forgiving someone is not the same thing as ignoring the evil that the person has done. And so I think we can interchange those and think the evil they did is too big. But we know that that's not true for Jesus, right? Like, he forgave the ones who are actively killing him in process, like real time, which kind of blows my mind. It wasn't like he had some time to think about it and go back to them, but they're actually killing him. And in that moment, he's crying out on their behalf. That is like so humbling to me, because I can't imagine a heart that is so for others and that they would find freedom and healing. And that is how Jesus approached us. He didn't minimize what they were doing. It didn't take away the wrong. It actually acknowledged the depth of what they were doing and the weight that they would carry, and asked Jesus to forgive them. And it is also choosing not to hold that against the person or get even with them. When we look at the love and the forgiveness of the Lord, we realize that it transforms hearts and minds. It is truly transformative. I want to look at the parable of the prodigal son. So I'm going to read that whole passage, which is Luke 15, 11 through 30. So if you want to read along, you can, but it'll be up on the screen. And I'm just going to read the whole thing. So He said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me. So he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. I'm gonna pause here. I don't know if you've ever fed pigs, but like longing for their food is disgusting. My sister did pigs for 4-H and I would go out and see them sometimes and I did not long for their food. I cannot imagine being that hungry that you would long for that. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but as he answered his father, look, these many years I served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So in this story, we have the father, the prodigal son, and the faithful son, right? We have the one, the prodigal son, who needs the forgiveness and goes back and asks for it. The father, who readily gives the forgiveness without questions, strings, or anything. He just gives it to him. And not only that, he celebrates that his son returned. And then we have the faithful son, the one who remained and did all the right things. He was faithful. He worked hard. And because of that, he got stuck and he couldn't rejoice that his brother came home because it felt so unjust to him. He couldn't understand why God would give this to his brother who didn't do the right thing and not to him. Like, he lost sight of his place, one, in his father's home. He was the oldest son. He's already the heir. He has all of it. So that's not being taken or touched, but he couldn't understand the rejoicing at his younger brother who didn't do all of the right things. And because of that, he got stuck. He missed out. It didn't take away the forgiveness of his brother. It didn't take away the rejoicing of his father. He's the only one that loses in this scenario. And I think so often this can be a reason that we get stuck. We don't understand what God is doing. We don't feel like it's deserved. We don't know why they should be forgiven, and then we miss out because we get stuck in our rationalization, our trying to understand and rank and make a justification scale, which I think is human nature. It's how we make sense of things. But forgiveness isn't a thing to make sense of. It supersedes all of that. It's supernatural. So when we try to put something supernatural that God has done and created into our natural brains and our equating scales, things don't come out right. And we get stuck in a place of lack of understanding, a lack of clarity, and then we stay there. And we miss out. We miss out on the party and the feast and the relationship and what God wanted to do on the back end. And honestly, it can be so easy for me to get stuck here, not even necessarily with not feeling like somebody deserves God's forgiveness, but for me, I don't know what to do when I don't understand at all. So that's a really difficult thing for me in life when I'm encountering someone or something where I can't empathize or I can't understand their point of view. I feel like so often I try, and usually I can understand multiple people's perspective in a scenario. So even if I'm like, oh, I don't necessarily agree with that, I understand how they got there. And so moving forward with them, I can do that. When I don't understand where someone's coming from or what would compel them or just a lack of understanding at all, I do feel paralyzed. Like I just stand there and I don't know what to do because somehow in my mind, if I don't understand it, I can't do anything, which is insane because that would prevent me from so much life. And so that's the thing I have to work out with Jesus. Like, I don't understand, but I trust you because who you are is good. And in this story of the prodigal son, I think we see that so clearly. This, the older son, the faithful son, didn't understand and then ultimately didn't trust his father. The choices that he was making, the decisions and how he was leading and caring, he was like, not only do I not understand, I don't agree, and so I won't participate. And he removed himself from all of that. And then I want to, the second reason I think we can get stuck maybe in unforgiveness or even a pattern of it is because we can't forgive ourselves. Sometimes the issue isn't really even forgiving others. It's not being able to forgive ourselves. It's realizing that we're broken, and sometimes we feel broken beyond repair. We feel like maybe we've set goals or others have set goals for us that we have failed miserably to meet. And maybe we repeat patterns that we've sworn to break. And every time we repeat it, we feel more discouraged and maybe more unworthy of God's forgiveness. Maybe as moms, there's a lot of things we can't forgive ourselves at. We've yelled at our kids for the 10th time this week or today. I don't know what your day was like. Or you genuinely don't know what the right decision is, and you feel like you should. You should always know. You should know everything, but you can't figure it out. Or maybe we realize that we've hurt people. We've let them down, and the odds are we're going to wake up tomorrow, and we're going to hurt people and let them down, no matter how hard we try to do otherwise. That's just life. And sometimes I think we can't forgive ourselves for that, for not being perfect. And when we can't forgive ourselves, we're truly not receiving God's forgiveness. It's really hard to let that flow through you because we've decided in that moment, I can't forgive myself. I don't know if God forgives me. And that's another way that that wall, that dam goes up in our heart. That blocks his love and forgiveness. In Luke 7:47, Jesus says these words, "Therefore I tell you, her sins are, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." I love this verse. And in one of the commentaries I was looking at, and it said that in the context of Luke 7, Jesus had just told a parable about two debtors, one owing a great deal and the other less. The parable illustrates that to the one to whom more was forgiven would naturally love more because the weight of what he was forgiven was so big that it actually transformed his heart. He knew that he didn't deserve it, And so to that weight and that degree of forgiveness that he received, he was able to love out of that. But sometimes, one, we either don't think we deserve God's love and forgiveness, so we're not receiving it. And then we're not receiving his love. And if we're not receiving his love, how are we sharing his love? The last reason I think sometimes we can get stuck in unforgiveness is actually that we want to forgive. So we're not trying to be an unforgiving person. We've said verbally, I forgive you, and felt like we do forgive. And we even think that we have, and we move on. But then something happens. Life happens, and we find ourselves back in that spot again. I listened to another teaching on forgiveness, and she said that forgiveness has two parts. One part is the facts of what happened, so forgiving someone for the thing they did that hurting you. The second part, which I think is harder, is the impact, because sometimes the impact of what happened isn't felt till weeks or months or years later. Sometimes forgiving somebody for an incident that happened is easy. Oh, that was a mistake. I forgive you. But then life goes on and you realize, whoa, that one decision is impacting way more of my life than I thought. I didn't know it was going to touch this area. And that's a whole different layer. And then we're wrestling through, do I actually forgive them for how it's impacting me? And that's real. And sometimes you don't know that until you're down the road a little ways living through the impact of what happens. And so this idea of forgiving once and moving forward and then expecting it to be done, I think gets us into a place of feeling really discouraged about forgiveness, because I think it's completely unrealistic. Forgiveness isn't a once and done. What Jesus did on the cross, that was once and done, and his blood covers all. But his invitation for us into that, to join him, is a continual choosing to say, I believe that you forgave all, that your blood covers all, and today I choose to live in that place. That choice has to happen continually. Jesus' choice was the once and done, but we're not him. And so when we approach forgiveness as it's just a once and done, I think we set ourselves up to feel really disappointed and honestly really discouraged in ourselves. And it just fuels a really negative cycle that leaves us feeling stuck. And doing research on unforgiveness, I think we all know it's not good for us, first of all. It generates increased stress, anxiety, high blood pressure, weakened immune system, all of these things on our body, which essentially tells me God didn't make us to carry it. If our bodies don't love it, then God never intended us to walk around carrying unforgiveness. And it shows that forgiveness, on the other hand, is linked to fewer physical health symptoms, and it releases us from all of these things. In some research, I'm not going to read this whole passage, but it was looking at Nelson Mandela, who was a world-famous icon for peace. He fought for freedom for the black majority in South Africa. He was imprisoned for 27 years for his activism, which meant he spent the prime years of his life in jail. Didn't see his kids grow up, didn't see any of this. By the time he was released, instead of exacting revenge, I mean, he was an old man by the time he was released. He chose to forgive his former jailers, and instead of exacting revenge, he worked alongside of the government to build a new democratic country. But what I love were his words about forgiveness, because this is somebody who had to pay for 27 years. This isn't somebody who had a single bad interaction with somebody. He said, having resentment against someone is like drinking poison and thinking it will kill your enemy. And it just, again, reiterates what we saw in the prodigal son. You're the one that pays. I'm the one that pays. My enemy doesn't pay for my unforgiveness. Their life is not impacted by my unforgiveness. This is the decision I'm making because I feel so justified in it or stuck. But I'm the one who's drinking the poison, and I'm the one who's suffering the consequences in my body, in my spirit, in my soul. And this is why the enemy wants us to latch onto it. And it's really easy to do, you guys. But the alternative is to acknowledge, as we did in these verses, what Jesus has done for us. What he did on that cross, what his blood covered, and realize every single day there's an invitation. And with some people and some situations, you will forgive again and again and say, Jesus, I don't feel this, but I know that your blood paid the price for not only me, but for them. If they were the only ones at the foot of the cross, he would have done the same thing. And if you were the only one at the foot of the cross, he would have done the same thing. His actions would have been the same, no matter who it was. In Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. He came to forgive us and to be our example, but he didn't come just to be example. He came to be our provision and the means to forgiveness in every single day. What he did made it possible that every day we can go to him and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I need you and your spirit to work through me today. This is what I feel and this is what I know to be true. I'm gonna close with a quote from Mother Teresa. She said, people are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. In all of this, it's between us and God. And the overflow of that is what impacts people, is what allows us to be a people of forgiveness or people that are receiving his forgiveness. So, you know, life happens, and we certainly didn't choose to be hurt if we're the one that's hurt. Or maybe we made a choice that hurt others. And while we can't undo it, we have to trust that God's grace is sufficient. The choice we have, again, is to enter into this place with Jesus and trust that he will do what he set out to do. Because life is going to go off the rails, you guys. There's going to be times where things are going to come up and you're just going to be like, we were just like trucking along. And then all of a sudden, you're literally off the rails. And those are the moments where we need Jesus. Because I believe as we read all throughout scripture, anytime you see the words but God, I think it's like the greatest two words in the Bible, because it means whatever came before that, when it says but God, there's a promise that comes after it because he changes everything. So whatever happens, we have a but God moment where we're like, but God is here. He forgives me. If I've done something I can't forgive myself for, he forgives the one who hurt me or hurt the people I love so much. He forgives. So this isn't a but you do better. This is a but God. Like, God will do it. So I want to take a little bit of time this morning as we close where we're able just to pray for one another. I want this to be a time of encouragement and blessing, and I know that this topic isn't necessarily light, but I don't think God's encouragement and blessing and joy only comes to us in the light things. I think sometimes it's found in the hardest things that our hearts find freedom in. And so I want to acknowledge that all of us either need to forgive or be forgiven to some degree, but for some of us, maybe we're wrestling really deeply with Jesus over these. And so I'm going to ask you to do something kind of bold, and this, again, is not just for mothers, so this is all of us, but I'm going to ask that as the worship team plays some music quietly, that if you're feeling like you're feeling like you need forgiveness, that maybe your heart hasn't fully experienced God's love and forgiveness, or maybe you've asked for someone's forgiveness and they haven't granted it to you. And so your natural assumption is, well, if they don't forgive me, maybe God's not forgiving me either. And maybe what I did isn't forgivable. That's not true. It's not true. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. His forgiveness is for all, and it is for absolutely everything. And so I think there's some of you this morning that Jesus just wants you to feel his forgiveness, to actually receive it in such a way that it changes your heart and the way you respond to others. But I think there's others that are maybe struggling to forgive. Like, it's a really real battle that you're actively fighting, whether it's in your thoughts or in your daily life. The hurt was big. This person, this situation, whatever it is, maybe almost causes a visceral response in you. If you think about it, it's like instantaneous. That is a sign that Jesus wants to touch your heart. He wants to meet you in that place and help you walk through this. And so I would love for us to acknowledge that the beauty of coming together is, one, we know that Jesus is with us. Second, that we're in community, that we get to walk this alone, so that we would be able to come around each other as community and just pray with one another, and share with the people around you, I'm struggling to forgive, or I just want to receive God's forgiveness. And I want us just to take a couple of minutes and lay hands on one another if you feel like that applies for you. So I'm going to ask that in this response time, if you feel like you're either of those people, that you would just stand and allow the people around you to pray with you and really be community. Again, if it's that you're struggling to forgive, or you really are struggling to receive God's forgiveness, I'm just going to step away as the worship team plays quietly and ask that you would stand. And if you are around those people, please take a moment to lay hands on them and pray for them and encourage them, because I really believe with all of my heart as I was praying this morning that God wants to break the power of the hold that this has on some of our hearts. We'll choose to walk in this. We'll choose to agree with this Holy Spirit, but there is a power that unforgiveness has on us that it doesn't need to have. Jesus paid the price. And so we're just going to take a couple minutes and be able to respond. And after which I'll come up and say a prayer of blessing. So I know that it's bold to stand up and say, like, yeah, that's me, but I think that could be all of us. If you don't want to stand, that's totally okay. Maybe just look at the person next to you and say, will you pray with me? Or pray as couples or as families. Like, I just want to take time in this moment to pray together and acknowledge the gift that God has given us in his forgiveness.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at anthemcda. We can't wait to see you next week.